Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Good morning, everybody.
Did you see what happened in week 12? Are you sure that we're going with good morning?
Yeah, it's good morning. It's sunny. It's holiday week. We're good.
All right, fine. We brought it back here. Yeah, that's right. Thanksgiving week is always fantastic for the taste buds, the stomach, you know.
It is a Football Monday. It is the Catholic Health Extra Point Show here on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. We're going to talk to Sal Capaccio here in about 10 or so minutes. But Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on a Football Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And yeah, week 12 didn't go exactly the way I think a lot of people wanted to for the Bills, to give you some hope for
that's one way to say it.
The division still being alive, not being one of the lower tier wild card teams. It's not over by any means. I mean, it's week 12, but
what are you talking about? It's so over.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not looking awesome.
It's never been more over.
The Pittsburgh game is becoming much more of a you got to win. You have to beat Pittsburgh on Sunday.
You know what? I think Thanksgiving's coming at a good time for everyone here. And anyone watching on YouTube, anyone listening on the app or in their radios or anywhere. Anyone following the Buffalo Bills, yeah, good thing that Thanksgiving's here, honestly. Because that'll give everyone a chance to like take a day, take a step back, relax, at least for one day, and not have your concerns about it. For me, this is just... You said, I don't know how much worse it could have gone. No, it went as poorly as it could have gone.
Yeah, right now, with the fact that the Chiefs won, obviously the Texans did win on Thursday Night Football, New England won, Baltimore won, and you go on and go on. Bills are the seventh seed. They would be going to at number two seeded Denver. Baltimore has, at this now point, taken the AFC North spot. They are the 4 seed. Indianapolis is the 3 seed. Your other 2 wild cards as well are Jacksonville and the Chargers, with the Patriots being the 1 seed. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
The Patriots. Bills right now are the 7 seed, a seed that has not won has won only one playoff game in its existence. That is Green Bay over Dallas 2 years ago. So,
yeah.
Not the best situation right now.
It is. I mean, yeah. To put it quickly, Ravens won, Chiefs won, Patriots won. Steelers lost, because then you would have at least had the head-to-head to Baltimore if right. You have like the – if Baltimore is sitting there at 6-5 and instead of in the north position, they are in the wild card position, which I guess kind of gives you some slight good news if the Bills were to lose to Pittsburgh. If Baltimore drops their game, guess what? Or even if Baltimore wins their game, you're technically going to be able to stay – oh, no, hang on. Baltimore would need to lose. Never mind.
Well, no, I mean, if you beat the Steelers and Baltimore beats Cincinnati, you would go up to the 5 seed. Just in those two situations. There's probably other tiebreakers there.
Well, no, because Baltimore would stay in the north for now.
Yes, for now, yes.
So that's what I'm saying.
And then you would go to Baltimore in the wild card round. You'd move up to the 5.
Yeah.
You'd probably get, I think, to many people, we consider the worst situation, which is at Baltimore for the wild card.
Why is that the worst situation? That's actually probably the team I want to face.
I disagree so hardly. I think they match up so poorly against the Ravens.
But they keep winning. That's the other part of it. They keep beating Baltimore.
They do. And
also, I'm not scared of their defense. How do you beat the Bills? You man them up and you press the receivers, and that's how you get them, right? Denver can do that. I'm terrified of Denver. Denver and New England are probably the teams I don't want to see in the playoffs if they make the playoffs. Right now, we have to have that conversation, which I love. But Baltimore? No. Give me Baltimore. Oh, I'll take Baltimore.
I have no desire to deal with a team that wants to run the ball, can run the ball at home. And that's a big part of it, too. The Bills, since the bye on the road, and really, you can kind of say all year, have just not been the same team away from Orchard Park. That is immensely frustrating, knowing it's the last year of Highmark. This really should have been the year of kind of the beautiful swan song of maybe even hosting an AFC championship
game. They start 4-0 even.
Yeah, they start 4-0. They get the easy one, or they get the hard one out of the way week one in Baltimore. They take down the Ravens. I just have no desire to face them again. They're getting hot. Lamar's not even playing particularly well either, and they're still winning games. I just have zero desire to play them. Denver, I can at least get there with the sense of, I don't know if Bo Nix is any good. I have no idea if Bo Nix is any good. I know the defense is incredible. But I think at some point, I could say the same for the Bills with the Chiefs, but I think at some point the light is going to go on for this Ravens core of, guys, we play so well in the regular season. Just do the exact same stuff in the postseason and we'll be fine. And I don't want to be there when they figure that out. They could never figure it out. I think Lamar is too talented. Harbaugh has won a Super Bowl. He's gone on that run, so it's not like it's not, you know, in his repertoire. He can do it. I just really, for me though, as a whole, I think the AFC is not good.
Yeah,
I think the long and short of it, and we can go on, this week. I think ultimately I look at the AFC, and I don't think it's a particularly good conference. I look at the NFC, and I see a bunch of teams that I wouldn't be surprised if they made the Super Bowl. For the AFC, I see a bunch of teams of, oh, they made it? That's the difference for me there. Like, even if Kansas City, who's out of the playoffs right now, by the way, even after their win yesterday against Indianapolis, they are still in a position where I would be like, oh, they made it again? Okay. They're going to get stomped by whoever's in the NFC. If Buffalo made it, I'll be telling you right now, I won't feel the best for 2 weeks. I'll be thrilled that they're there.
Yep.
But probably by the end of that first week, I'll be like, cool. So 0-5 might be on the table. Baltimore's kind of the same thing. The Colts have Daniel Jones. Like, how real is that? New England, it's Drake May kind of in his first playoff run. Like, how serious is that really? That's really what the AFC is. Where the NFC is, the Rams look unstoppable at times. Last night, they just walked all over Tampa. Tampa's really reeling. They've got 3 straight losses. They've also got now their issue, too, with Baker Mayfield being hurt. But they look incredible. The Eagles look boring, but keep winning for the most part. Their defense is very good. San Francisco, hurt, keep winning. Green Bay, if they can get healthy, they're on their way. Jordan Love is starting to kind of come along, even with all of his injuries, and the defense is very good. Chicago's 8-3. Good for them.
Good for
I don't think they're particularly good. They're the AFC team of the NFC.
Yes, they are. They're also the team that's taking advantage of their situation.
Yeah.
Their strength of victory is the worst in the league. And they're taking advantage of it. That's
point. Seattle
8-3.
That's the point. Seattle 8-3 is a lot of fun. Seattle are last to watch.
Seattle is a terrifying team in their own right. But they're so, like you just said, they're so fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I genuinely have fun watching the Seahawks right now. And it's almost like twice in every 3 weeks, they look like this dominant franchise. And considering that they've been middling incarnate for the last couple of years, the Sam Darnold signing, it didn't make as much sense in terms of the money that they gave. It was like, okay,
right.
You saw the last two games in Minnesota. Are we sure about this? Nope. They were right every step of the way, it looks like.
And he is somewhat drifted down a little bit from the heroics early in the season and just like, oh my gosh, what is he doing? Like even the Washington game where it was just he couldn't have an incompletion. He has four picks against the Rams 2 weeks ago, but that's been nailed it signing kind of deal. And it's a little surprising because it is Sam Darnold. But yeah, so the NFC, I have much more faith in than the AFC. And in part, the Bills are a major player in that, of just being a very middling team. The stats won't tell you that. I think they're still like fifth in scoring. But on the road, they're a wildly different team. They've lost two of their last three, and two of those being Miami, who they've dominated for years, and then Houston with a backup quarterback. And both times, it was the offense looked really, really rough. 803-0550, the number to call. But for now, we will go to the Wester Hotline, and we are joined by Sal Capaccio here on a Football Monday. Sal, how was your weekend?
It was good. Obviously tried to just get away a little bit, I guess, after that Thursday night game and, everything kind of a compact schedule. Was not a good weekend on Saturday when Syracuse lost by one of the worst scores ever in school history.
I wasn't going to bring it up. I'm sorry.
To Notre Dame. That's okay. It's okay. I mean, they're not good this year, and Notre Dame is good, but that was pretty embarrassing, actually. I've never seen 21 points scored without an offensive snap.
Yeah, no.
I think that was unbelievable. And then yesterday, took my son Max and my wife Yana, but my son Max, to his first ever NBA game. Went to Toronto and saw the Nets play the Raptors last night.
There we go.
There you go.
It's a full weekend. Again, I was not going to bring up the Syracuse
and
thing.
And Sal did even also have time to swing by here, drop something off, because Joe Kelly and I saw him on the way out.
There we go.
I was there on Saturday. That's right. I was there on Saturday. I was dropping some stuff off. We did the Matt Bove and I did the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast out at Batavia Downs last week. It was really good. And then we had some I had some things from there I had to bring back to the station. I saw you guys coming out. I'm like, oh yeah, Sports Talk Saturday. That's right.
Yep. And it turned into, how's the show? It was a show that happened. It was a show that happened. People are a little antsy in their pants, and I get it.
I'm sure, like, I think it's all intertwined, right? So Friday I did the reaction show to Thursday night on the Extra Point show, and then Saturday you guys did that show, and I'm sure a lot was very similar because people were still fresh in people's minds. Here we are on a Monday, attention starting to shift back towards, what's ahead instead of what's behind. But I think that loss on Thursday just really lingers in everybody's minds and who this team really is or, what they are this year and in a lot of questions about, where they should be, where they are, and including the fact that right now the Buffalo Bills are the 7th of 7 AFC playoff teams and the teams right behind them are the Steelers. If the Bills were to drop this, they would be even with the Steelers, and the Steelers would obviously have head-to-head, and the Texans. The Bills are one game ahead of them, and they've already beaten the Bills. So this is a pretty monster game this week.
Yeah, absolutely, Sal. And looking at week 12, we still have one more game tonight, but it's on the NFC side of things. Ultimately, though, for the AFC side of things, pretty much everything didn't go the Bills' way. Kansas City wins, New England wins, Baltimore wins, New England wins. It's just, it hasn't gone the way the Bills wanted. And like you said, now they're at the 7th seed, and they'd be going to at Denver. Not the greatest offense in the world. I said it right before he came on. I don't really even know if Bo Nix is any good. But that defense sure is, and that has been the key problem for the Bills this year, is they cannot handle pass rushes very well, and Denver might have the best in football.
Yeah, they might, and we'll see. I mean, maybe the Bills play Denver in the playoffs, but right now I think it's about getting in the playoffs, and you worry about that when you play them. They play the Steelers this week, and that's also a good pass rush. The Steelers are, I look today, 12th in the NFL, and sacks per pass attempt, but we know they have a couple of really good edge guys. I don't think they're quite the overall defense that the Texans were. That's a it was incredible to watch that defense, you know, up close. The Steelers, they've given up some big run games. You know what's weird? If there's ever more of a example of a week-to-week league, the Steelers back in mid-October gave up over 7 yards a carry to the Bengals, and then they go against Jonathan Taylor and give up less than 2 yards a carry. I mean, like,
it's incredible.
It's just crazy. So I think the Bills have to go to Pittsburgh and, you know, run the ball and, you know, lean back on that, because that's been most of their success and strength. And I think what we saw on Thursday night is if they get in situations where they have to pass, teams just aren't respecting their pass catchers enough and coming after their quarterback. And that's just not a good recipe for the Buffalo Bills.
Sal, when it comes down to it, though, when we're looking at like potential playoff implications, everything like that, when it comes to facing the Steelers as well, there's another wrinkle in this that turns it into all the more heightened importance, and that is conference record tiebreakers. A loss to the Steelers here would give you number 4, and that is not a good sign, considering that most of the other teams are looking at 2 losses in conference right now. The only other team that's in playoff contention with 4 conference losses is Kansas City. So if you put yourself behind in tiebreakers, because, I mean, I don't want to go ahead and say that the division dream is all but over, but, you know, in a realistic sense, you're probably trying to gun for the best seed that you can in the wild card.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird looking standings right now with New England, Denver, Indy, and Baltimore actually at the top, and then Chargers, Jaguars, Bills, and the Chiefs on the outside looking in right now. You could make an argument that it might be better to be a 5 or 6 this year than it is to be a division winner, you know, 2, 3, or 4 because of the teams you might face. But that said, you get 5 or 6, you're going on the road. I think I look at the teams here, and the teams you brought up are interesting because it would come down to head-to-head against Pittsburgh, against Houston, against Kansas City, against Baltimore. The Bills have beaten Baltimore. They've beaten Kansas City. They didn't beat Houston, and we will see against Pittsburgh. We don't know against the Chargers in Jacksonville, right? These are the teams you're fighting with as well, to your point, though, Derek, which is if it comes down to Chargers or Jags and Bills, those conference games are going to matter. Those conference records are going to matter. Right now, the Chargers are 6-2 in the conference. The Jags are 4-2 and the Bills are 4-3. If it's also a 3-way tie between the Bills, a team they've beaten, and another team, you have to start thinking about conference records. So, yeah, I think it's the next few games are really important. It's not just this game, by the way. The Bills go against the Steelers this week. Then after that, they get the Bengals at home. Then they go to the Patriots. Then they're the Browns. You have 4 AFC games. They just played one. They're already 0-1 in this stretch of 5 AFC games. And then obviously the Patriots game in a few weeks could loom large if the Patriots drop one here between now and then. But guys, think about this. The Bengals play Thursday night. Then they have 10 days to get ready for the Bills. And then when the Bills play the Patriots, they'll be coming off a bye week and 13 days rested because they play Monday night the week before that. So the schedule isn't doing the Bills any favors this year.
No, and even you bring up the Bengals too. Burrow doesn't play yesterday, but he's probably, I don't want to say definitely, but probably going to be at least playing by the time the Bills roll around. Might not play on Thanksgiving just because of the quick turnaround here, but you're going to get him. You've got the Steelers. There's a good chance that they'll have Rodgers back. He almost played this weekend and said it was Mason Rudolph. And then like you mentioned too, like you're going to get the Patriots off a bye week. And this maybe is just because of how poor the performance was on Thursday night against Houston. But Sal, now I start to not look at any team as a for sure win. You know, any team that maybe has a particularly good quarterback or a good wide receiver, a solid run game, I start to get very leery about all of it. It even points to like a game like Cleveland, who, I mean, they really don't have much of an offensive identity at all. But that defense, Myles Garrett, might be going for the all-time sack record in a season. And that's been something that really just derails any kind of game plan for the Bills offense. So now I start to look at these next 4 games and I wonder, they could go on a run. Is this the team? Is this the year, though, that these Bills are actually able to go on that kind of run?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, do they have the ability? Sure they do, because they have the quarterback and we know that, and anything can happen when it comes to that. And the fact that everyone's kind of the same, right? You have teams with better records, but a lot of these teams are teams that you say they could beat any team on any day. They could also lose to any team on any day. I mean, I know it's been since very early in the season, but the Patriots did lose to the Raiders and Steelers, right?
You're right.
Look at the Broncos. I mean, their offense is like they've had games where they've done nothing for three quarters and then they showed up at the very end and wound up winning. Look at the Colts, what's happening. The Chiefs, I mean, yesterday they did the thing that we are used to seeing the Chiefs do, which is come back and win at the end. But, you know, they made their share of mistakes, and that's the reason why they had to do that at the end. So no doubt about it. And when you think about the Bills and their upcoming schedule, I think one of the biggest issues is they've just been bad on the road.
Yeah.
They have not played well on the road. And that's got to change this week when they go to Pittsburgh, because when you look at the Bills on the road this year, they go to the Jets, they take care of business. After that, they went to the Falcons and lose in primetime. They took care of business against the Panthers. But since then, guys, at Miami, disastrous. At Houston, disastrous. They've been a much different team on the road than they have been at home, where they've only lost one game. They have to turn that around. And a big reason is because of the turnovers. They are committing more turnovers on the road. I mean, my theory is that, you know, things are just, they don't have the guys to be able to just make something happen when communication and plays are either coming in late or you have to make checks at the line. And that's causing everything to be sped up and mistakes to happen. And I think that's what's happening. And if you let the Pittsburgh Steelers, if the Steelers shut down their Bills run game, then you're going to have to be in a position where you were last week. And then, yeah, they're going to start to get off again against your pass rush. And then you're talking about Cleveland and Myles Garrett. I mean, Deion Dawkins has said repeatedly, the toughest guy he ever has to block is Myles Garrett. I mean, then we know how good he is. Right? I mean, is Trey Hendrickson playing for the Bengals by then? And by the way, their defense is playing a lot better now. It was terrible early in the year. And it's still not very good, but it's playing better now. They did a nice job yesterday for the most part on the Patriots. Still lost that game. So, yeah, there's some big challenges coming up here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Sal, you're bringing up the turnovers. The last three games, the Bills have had three turnovers, nine total. And
yeah,
they have just they've gone from a team like last year where just one turnover was stunning, and now the last 3 weeks it's become a regular occurrence of multiple turnovers. They do it in bulk. They do not do anything in half measures when it comes to that stuff. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to take a quick time out here. Sal will be with us, though, in the next segment as we'll go a little bit more around the league and also, again, previewing Bills and Steelers as the week gets underway here. The Bills did lose to the Houston Texans 23-19 on Thursday Night Football. So,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a little bit of a weirder, little less normal Football Monday, but still Football Monday nonetheless. Again, 803-0550, the number to call. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Hour number one continues to roll along here on the Catholic Health Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here, and on the Western Hotline, still hanging out with us. He's got time on a Monday. Sal Capaccio. And Sal, we're not going to hear from the coaches today. It's a little bit of a weird week with having Thursday night football. We did, though, hear from all of our coaches on Friday. And let's get to the Barnes Firm Injury Report. And that is brought to you by the Barnes Firm Injured. For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION, because it is lengthy.
Yeah, and I mean, a couple of encouraging items on here, but we all saw what happened with Terrell Bernard. That looked really bad and nasty, right, when he got hit by some friendly fire from Matt Milano coming in and the arm and the elbow. I'll be honest, though, guys, I thought it would be even worse than what Sean McDermott termed it week to week.
Right.
Now, it still could, you know, that could mean a lot of things, but he said week to week, and then he basically gave an indication probably not going to be available this week. He didn't rule out IR, but also didn't say he's definitely going on IR. So I think, again, could be encouraged by that, but it just sucks for Terrell Bernard, obviously. He had been dealing with the ankle injury as well. And, you know, now with the arm, it stinks, but maybe there's a chance for his body to kind of heal up and get right over the next few weeks. And you got to keep Shaq Thompson healthy now because he'll probably get inserted into that, you know, middle linebacker role. And then you have Spencer Brown. And again, Sean McDermott basically gave an indication that not going to be available this week. They're still evaluating his situation, a shoulder injury. You saw him on the sidelines, arm in a sling. That wasn't good. So you're probably looking at Ryan Vandermark starting against the Pittsburgh Steelers at right tackle on Sunday. Maxwell Harrison is in concussion protocol. So we will be monitoring that this week. Obviously, with the game on Thursday, you have 10 days. So hopefully he's able to progress, you know, well enough to be able to play. Good news on Christian Benford and A.J. Epinesa, who both left the game. McDermott said both should be fine. And no surprise, Josh Allen is sore, to put it as Sean McDermott did, but expected to be fine. And obviously, Josh, you saw probably video and pictures of him getting his jersey retired at the University of Wyoming over the weekend as well. Guys who didn't play in the game on Thursday, Dalton Kincaid, massive loss with him so far, because he's just such a big integral part of what they need in the passing game that they're not getting right now, and they need help there, that he can help everybody, I guess, in the best way to put it, with him on the field. Him, as well as Fedarian Mathis, defensive tackle, and Curtis Samuel, wide receiver, all improving. The next time we'll hear from Sean McDermott will be Wednesday morning, and that will be ahead of the team hitting the practice field on Wednesday afternoon.
I was curious about that, Sal, because of Thanksgiving being there. Is the practice schedule still going to remain the same?
Yeah, still the same. It's a normal Sunday week. So even with Thanksgiving, the only difference is there's no media on Thanksgiving. The team will still do work. So they allow us to kind of have our Thanksgiving off. But they say no media. They'll close it to the media. But no different on Wednesday and on Friday. And I'll still have Sean McDermott on Friday here on this show. So we'll get, you know, your normal injury update. So everything kind of remains the same throughout the week this week. The only difference is nothing today from coaches because they spoke Friday. And then nothing on Thursday for media, but the team will still, you know, have their normal practice in the morning. So, yeah, and then full system go for Sunday in Pittsburgh, a 4:25 p.m. start against the Steelers. It is 4:25 p.m., right?
It is, yeah. Which
4:25 p.m. There
you
go.
It makes sense. It's the Steelers. It's a brand. But in my head, the Steelers should always be playing at like 1 o'clock or 8 o'clock. It feels very
weird. It's a 4 o'clock game. I'll tell you, though, I'm looking at it. Remember, you have three less games on Sunday this week because of the Thanksgiving game too, right? So there's less games to choose from. No bye weeks this week. The NFL doesn't – Thanksgiving week, I don't think anybody has a bye week. They traditionally don't do that. How many games do I get? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 1 o'clock games, and then you have 1 4:05 game, and then 2 4:25s, Raiders, Chargers, Bills, Steelers. So this will be a national, you know, window game here for a lot of people to watch. Obviously, and you're right, it's a brand. It's two teams fighting for wild card and playoff spots. Obviously, you guys saw, I'm sure, you know, they've been talking about it today. There was something on social last night. The Bills, you know, could be, I guess, you know, there's stuff about Shaq Lawson possibly being in town for a workout. You know, I was trying to, Matt Bove and I, by the way, a little plug here. We just recorded an Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast like this morning. So that's going to drop. So if you want to check that out, we talked about this. We talked it through. I don't know. I don't know if there's another, there's no new injury from anybody at defensive end that we know of from Sean McDermott. Everybody finished the game. I know Joey Bosa has been dealing with the wrist, but I went back. He played the last few snaps of the game on defense. Now he had been dealing with the wrist. So maybe that's something. I think more so this could be simply TJ Sanders has been playing defensive end, guys. Been playing out of position.
Yeah.
They need – so I don't – whether it's Shaq Lawson or someone else, and I know Shaq Lawson, roll your eyes, a guy – I mean, when you're at week 13, we know how this works. When you're at week 13, you try to bring guys in who at least you are familiar with and they're familiar with you, that you can kind of seamlessly onboard them. But either way, that might not matter. I mean, whether they sign him or not, they're probably looking at adding someone to the position because TJ Sanders has been playing out of position a little bit here, playing defensive end. And McDermott said on Friday they'd like to get him back inside.
Sal, I wanted to ask you about that because that's where my head went, was with Shaq Lawson. Like, okay, did like somebody else pick up an injury? We didn't hear anything on Friday, and it's still not, you know, for sure. We don't know 100% if this is happening. But the TJ Sanders thing has been a curiosity because it kind of just happened out of nowhere. And I feel like that's now where I only see him. I don't actually see him in the interior all that much anymore. And it has been a bit of a slow roll for him. Like as much of a flash as Deion Walker has been this year at the defensive tackle position, I'd say TJ Sanders, both with the injury and even before that, has sort of, you know, played second fiddle a little bit to Walker.
Yeah. I mean, Deion Walker, actually, if you go back, guys, and look at this past draft, I mean, I'd like to do that right now if I can. I'll have to try and look it up. But if you go back to this past draft, I would say Deion Walker's playing as good as any, you know, making enough plays as any interior defensive lineman that was drafted, mm-hmm. right? Let me see. Can we do this real quick? Let's see what the numbers are on Deion Walker here. All right, I'm going to go to defense. Let's go with some sacks here. I know that's not the, you know, end all be all as far as, you know, how you want
right,
to do this.
Yeah.
But let's see, Jalen Walker has 5 sacks, 4 sacks, James Pierce. I'm looking at what else they've done so far. Anyway, the point is, if you look at, you know, Deion Walker and what he's done this year, I think he's been one of the better rookie defensive tackles in the entire league. And they got this guy in the fourth round. How many times do we hear, oh my God, drafting has been terrible? This is a nice draft pick, right? It's a guy that's turned out well. I mean, Cole Bishop's turning out to be a nice draft pick after, you know, a year and what's happening here. So maybe you have a couple guys here that you can look at that say, okay, and then, hey, Max Harrison's played pretty well since he stepped in, right? So I think Deion Walker has been a nice fit for the Bills. He's done a really nice job here. And there's times where I watch him and go, okay, well, that's a rookie mistake. He's caught out of position. But he's also just done a really good job to, you know, make sure that he's kind of done his job. And he's made tackles in the backfield, tackles for loss. He's done a really good job like that. And, you know, he deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, absolutely. Sal, last thing here, real quick on the road kind of issues for the Bills. Just what have you seen in these last three games, Tampa being the lone home game here, but Miami and Houston both times, Bills unable to really do anything on offense, can't even get to 20 points. What has been the big issue for you that you've seen?
Same thing that we've talked about a lot of here. Did you guys see the Emmanuel Acho breakdown?
I did not. I've been hearing about it. I've been meaning to go check it out.
It's really good, and whether you like him or not, and I know that he can kind of go off the rails a little bit for some people, going in different directions on things he says, but he did a really good job of showing some things with the Bills offense. And one of the things that he showed was there was a 3rd and 20 that the Bills faced, and the Houston Texans played man-to-man defense on a 3rd and 20. Nobody plays man-to-man defense on 3rd and 20 with one high safety. You know why you play man-to-man defense on 3rd and 20? Because you're not afraid of anybody beating you. Because all it takes in man-to-man defense is one person make a mistake and you can convert a 3rd and 20. And you're like, why the heck did we do that? Just keep everybody in front of you in zone. That's all you got to do on 3rd and 20. They did, though. They played man-to-man. And to answer your question, this gets to my point, which is I just think it's the same thing. When you are, especially in a road environment, it's very loud. You're getting play calls in late. Unfortunately, we know that that happened. You're trying to make checks at the line. You don't have enough, you know, man beaters, people who can just beat their guy off the line to come up with answers quick enough for an offense that needs quicker answers, because then your quarterback is standing in the pocket and people are teeing off on him. Yeah. So I think that's been an issue. And then that creates mistakes. And that's why you have turnovers. And turnovers have been a really, really big issue for this team on the road this year.
Going to have to figure it out Sunday, 4:25 at Pittsburgh. Sal, you have off tomorrow. As you mentioned, it's a normal Sunday week. So the next time we'll talk will be on Wednesday, sir. Have a great rest of your day.
All right, you guys got it. Thanks.
All right, see you, Sal.
Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline. We'll take a quick timeout here when we come back. 803-0550, the number to call. Bill, if you hang on the line, we'll get to you first and others as well. As we're talking, the Bills, their playoff hopes right now, as of today, they are in the final wild card spot in the AFC, and it's somewhat teetering here. not that long ago, it feels like not that long ago, we were talking about, you know, how many games could they win in a row? Could they be undefeated going into a game like New England? And instead, they're 7-4 and seemingly can't play on the road, and they're going to have to do that again this week at Pittsburgh. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. Hour number one wraps up here on a football Monday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here. It is gorgeous out. It's Thanksgiving week. We've got college basketball starting on in so 15 minutes.
So much.
Let's go.
Turkey.
Let's go.
And potatoes.
I'm not the biggest turkey guy, but if it's done really well, I'm game for it.
I've learned.
No issue.
I've learned at this point. Give me a rotisserie chicken.
Rotisserie chicken. There we go. See,
it's never juicy enough.
No, all right, no, right. Let's complete the circle here.
It's never juicy enough.
Are you a pro or anti-turkey guy?
I'm a turkey guy. If I'm with Zach, like, it's very easy to butcher some turkey.
Oh yes, it is.
But if it's good,
I'm game.
It's awesome.
When it's good, it's great.
I've had one good turkey in my life that was juicy as ever. It was phenomenal. Never have I ever gotten back to that.
But then you said
rotisserie. So you're chasing the high.
You
then.
Said give
rotisserie
me a
rotisserie chicken. It's juicier chicken. And it's more consistently juicy. So like, God. I'd rather
skill issue.
I just can't get there with the rotisserie chicken. It's a holiday. It should just be a ham then.
Yeah,
I'm a big ham guy.
That's the other holiday meat is ham.
Yeah, just do that. Go inverse Christmas.
Early, yeah.
People that don't like turkey typically on Thanksgiving go inverse Christmas.
Yeah.
People that don't like ham on Christmas go inverse with Thanksgiving then. That's just how it goes. Getting a rotisserie chicken, you are smacking the holiday in the face.
I mean, to be fair, though, you're just like, I just want to eat good. So I can understand that.
I get that, but like, just give me a
carb load on Thanksgiving. There's very little protein that enters my system. It's all stuffing, all potatoes, all bread, all yams, all that just
and,
going
like,
down.
And like one slice of turkey.
I'm starting to wonder if Wednesday we need to do the...
It's the gratuitous, like, oh, you made a turkey. I need to put a piece on my plate.
Right. I don't want to be that guy.
We don't know if it's going to go down the hatch or not, though.
That's fair.
I think Wednesday we need to do the turkey... sides power rankings or the Thanksgiving sides power rankings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How's
what were
that?
We gonna say, Owen?
I think I have a take about turkey. I feel like the biggest thing that I hear about turkey as a negative is that people, it's hard to cook. And I don't feel like a food should be knocked because people jack it up all the time.
It's a skill issue.
It's good. It's good if you don't mess it up.
Yes.
Just don't mess it up. I can't, like, I get all these people like so upset. They're like, turkey sucks. You can't cook it good. It's like, no, you can't cook it good.
Yes, exactly.
It's good.
You got to do it wrong.
It's a delicious poultry item.
I know I can't cook, but what do? I know people that do.
Exactly.
Like, sometimes networking is just as important of a skill for your good turkey than it is the execution itself.
Really
bothers me. I'm not going to the store and getting a rotisserie chicken like a heathen.
Rotisserie chicken does rule.
It's poultry. They're like the same thing. What's just a little bigger than the other one?
True. You know what? It's great on a Tuesday this week, not Thursday, okay?
I love the rotisserie chicken thing. Like, that's like, I just moved to Los Angeles. I'm cross country. I'm alone. Here's my Thanksgiving dinner for myself.
I eat that rotisserie chicken regularly.
That's exactly
like, just
what I'm thinking.
Off the
this.
Chicken. I just that's pick awesome. At it with my fingers.
I kind of want to hear the bullpen's take on turkey here. I want to see the comments flooding there. Sorry.
I got to tell you, they're not even paying attention.
I know they're not. I know they're not. That's why I'm challenging them right now. But 803-0550, the number to call as we can get ourselves connected with our fans, is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Billy in Toronto. Billy, welcome into the Extra Point Show. What you got for us?
Well, guys, listen. You know, I'm getting a little tired of hearing, you know, I don't want to play this team, and oh, this team scares me, and that. Look. We've beaten the two probably best teams, I think, in that conference in Baltimore and Kansas City, and I think we beat them pretty easy. We just don't get up for these weak teams. Guys, I'm telling you this. If you think that the Indianapolis Colts, who pissed away a game against Kansas City this week, if you think Denver, if you think New England scares me, you better think again. This team is just waiting to get back to the playoffs. It happens to teams that get beat. They don't seem to want to play the regular season. When the Bills get back to the playoffs, that's when I'll start worrying about the season. I'll use a horse racing term, guys. When the real running starts, the Bills will be there. And I don't care what's happened up to now. These other teams are pretenders, and we'll see what happens once we finally get down to the playoffs. If we don't make the playoffs, and that's highly unlikely in my world, but if we don't make it, then it's time to clean house except for number 12.
If you don't make it, though, Billy, that means that the regular season does matter. You have to make the playoffs in order to then go on the run in the playoffs. You don't get to just say, oh, this doesn't matter. They don't care.
Coast. Yeah.
Bowl.
Also, it took a fourth quarter miracle, a tip pass to beat Baltimore at home this year. And they weren't a particularly good team even right after that.
I'm still not scared of Kansas City,
they handled, don't get me wrong. I really don't think Kansas City, Buffalo, or Baltimore are all that much better than anyone else in the AFC. I think it's an overall pretty mediocre conference with the likes of Denver and New England looking that much. But Denver's biggest problem is Bo Nix, I think, is a very low ceiling. If you had a higher ceiling or maybe even just had like one more elite playmaker on offense, they'd be easily better than most of them. But Kansas City keeps losing games too. They're not even in the playoffs. So I'm about done also saying Kansas City's is great. Like you mentioned, they botched a game against the Colts. Now, why are they all of a sudden still, though, one of the best teams in the conference? They have to start winning these games, and they can't win on the road lately. That's what they're going to have to do in the playoffs. That's why people are nervous. And this is not the team of years past. It's simply put, just not. It's not 23, where they were 6-6 and they went out. It's not the same roster. Their defense is very poor. And their offense, we just talked about it with Sal, does not have the horses to just turn it on whenever they want. They just don't.
They don't. And while the AFC is mediocre incarnate this year, the problem with being mediocre incarnate and being in the jumble here is where you are. 2023, they get away with it because the division becomes theirs. They jump to the 2 seed. It has more to do with Miami than it does Buffalo. And I think the wrong lessons were taken from that. Had the Bills lost and they had to be the 7 seed and they have to go to frozen Kansas City instead of hosting Pittsburgh, I feel like there might have been a change or two made. Maybe. I don't know. But there would have been a little bit more of an aggressive approach toward that offseason, right? Instead, they win the division and everything's just fine.
It's business as usual.
It's business as usual. You conduct your ways here as business as usual with how things are going with this team. Just because the conference is playing worse doesn't mean that you haven't gotten worse. It's okay to say that, and I get it. You have confidence that they're going to make the playoffs. You have confidence that they're going to make it. It's okay to say they have flaws on this team. And a flawed team does make the playoffs. Flawed teams make the Super Bowl. Rex Grossman, Chicago Bears, anyone? It's a problem, though, of don't ignore it. Don't say that the regular season doesn't matter. Because you have to make the playoffs. Ask the Buffalo Sabres if the regular season matters or not. Okay?
803-0550, the number 2 call. We're talking Bills and Steelers this week. The Bills are in a bit of a must-win situation, and they don't particularly play well on the road, at least as of late, and they are on the road again this week at Pittsburgh Sunday, 425. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. so carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Speaking of, is it over? Has the Bills Super Bowl window closed?
Gosh, you know what? Oh, I am so disappointed.
For this year?
Buffalo.
Period.
Like, no, is this period? God, no, you got the quarterback. You got
I don't
the offensive
care
line.
Who you have.
You got the running back.
You can't lose
get him some,
game
get him
like
some players
losing.
On the outside, whether it's through the draft, through free agency. Had a couple of people on defense.
No.
I think they got a quarterback who feel like he needs to do everything in order to win because
yes.
he sees the deficiencies that they had compared to what they had before.
He shot a 59 the other day. He ran for three, threw for three. You just
the Buffalo Bills, Terry.
When you miss, play Houston, are you kidding me?
The Bills missed their opportunity when the Patriots dunk for those last 3 to 4 years. And now the Patriots took control of the division once again. Bye-bye, Buffalo Bills.
It's Fox Game Day crew talking about the Bills, the current situation. I hate that I agree with some of that, though. Like, I think you did miss a good portion of your window here.
I just Rob Gronkowski makes my eyes roll.
I know. But I don't think it's all wrong. I do think you've missed some of your window. And not all of it. Again, quarterbacks' careers last much longer than most other positions, so it's not all doom and gloom there. But I do think you've missed some of your window. You had the division for the taking almost with impunity for 5 straight years. The almost is 23, you were 6-6, and Miami had to kind of botch one against Tennessee to really open up the door.
But the door was opened.
Yeah, but for the most part, you were able to get a free pass to a home playoff game every single year. Kansas City, that's a big part of their dynasty, is that the AFC West has been a real tire fire, even with guys like Justin Herbert being in the division for so long. For what are they at, like 9 straight years now? I mean, they're not going to win it this year, but it was like, I think, 9 years. New England, the AFC East, their dynasty, it was basically a free 5, maybe 6 wins and a 1 or 2 seed. And during their dynasty run, the 1 and the 2 seed had the bye. It plays a role. I mean, you know, a dynasty or really even a Super Bowl win is not built all by you. It is also by how the chips fall around you. And the chips falling around the Bills for a while there was the Jets of the Jets, arguably the Dolphins of the Dolphins, and the Patriots were down. And you rose. And now you're dealing with the Patriots, albeit with a very weak schedule, are 10-2. And right now the sitting 1 seed, they're in pole position at the moment. And, you know, we'll see how this goes. They've still got 6 weeks left. We talked to Billy there in the last segment. Right. They could absolutely turn it on because they got embarrassed by Houston and they go on a run here. They beat Pittsburgh. They beat Cincy. They beat New England. And all of a sudden, we might actually be talking about, wait, the division's not dead yet because New England drops one to the Giants or what have you. And all of a sudden, it's completely changed. My issue is I look around this team and I don't see that happening. I don't see the talent of 2023. I see a defense that is just ravaged by injuries and are just trying to piecemeal together. TJ Sanders is playing at edge and the young guys are having to really pick up a lot of the slack. And then on offense, I'm seeing a wide receiver room that, as Sal pointed out, on 3rd and 20, Houston's sitting there going, we'll play man. We'll play man against you. You have no man beaters. And their best one, Dalton Kincaid, yeah, he's improving, but it's a week-to-week injury. And he has a hard time staying on the field even when he's healthy because they only play him around 50% of the time on offense. You know, that's not injury-related, but that's just the case. I mean, he's not on the field 75% of their snaps.
And even then, It's the point of, like, the regular season doesn't matter. Like, that part needed to be – that take needs to be thrown out the window in a sense, because guess what? You're a team that is suboptimal on the road, and this regime has yet to win a road playoff game. You think them wanting to be a wild card is something that they're okay with?
Yeah, they've only had two bites of the apple, but one of them is with Allen. It is the Houston game that we actually did talk a good bit about last week. They don't look good on the road. Like, that's a big part of it, too, is that these road games, they're getting whooped on. They are being met at the line of scrimmage and having a real hard time dealing with it. Allen sacked 8 times against Houston. Let's say the playoffs go exactly like this. No, nothing moves, and this is what it is. You go to Denver, who's on pace to lead the league by sacks by like 15 at this point. They are blowing everybody out of the water. It's a bunch of guys doing it.
Right.
Led by the likes of Nick Bonito, but it's a bunch of guys. No, New England can't really score. Or not New England. Denver can't really score. Houston couldn't either.
And they did.
And it kind of didn't matter. Davis Mills couldn't hit a throw in the first quarter, and it kind of didn't matter.
All it takes is one bad drive from a defense that is holding it together with scotch tape and paper clips. They are injured in a way that I've made jokes about it in years past of, like, they're piecemealing it together. No, this is them holding on for dear life. They're at the end of the wooden roller coaster, and it's shot.
And it's wobbling, and you don't feel safe.
You don't like anything that's going on right now. And yet, the defense is not the core issue in a majority of the losses this year. That's the thing that I have the biggest issue with. That is my problem with this team this year.
Yeah, weirdly enough, it's the wins where the defense is the biggest problem.
It is, yeah. When the offense is not up to snuff, the defense has typically done enough. That's the thing. They have done enough in these games, but not to a point where the offense can then carry the slack for them. And the offense has some injuries. Dalton Kincaid, really, Joshua Palmer being there. Spencer Brown being out is going to be a real thing to monitor.
Yeah. We'll see about that one.
But they've been, for the most part this year, healthy. And they're the ones that are having the inconsistency here of costing them games at this moment. For the longest time in Miami, it's 16-0. You know how you win no games in the NFL? Typically by scoring 0 points through three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not on the defense at that point. They did all that they could. Atlanta, they get steamrolled in the first half, but then they hold on for dear life. What's the offense do? Not much. Yeah. New England, they're putting the ball on the turf 3 times.
Well, and we mentioned the turnover thing too with Sal, and we'll get to your calls here in just a moment, but the turnover thing with Sal, 3 turnovers in each of the last 3 games, 9 total in your last 3 games. Again, this is a team that flat out did not do that last year.
Right.
And that's a big part of this too, is a lot like Kansas City. Now, Kansas City's is the most, like, blanketed one of just, like, they were so good in one score games last year, they are absolutely terrible this year.
Oh, no, you hate to see it. Here's the world's smallest violin.
Right. Where for the Bills now, it's, okay, your starting field position is now near the bottom of the league, where last year it was number 1. Your takeaway percentage, and really the turnover differential, was super high. And it was just, oh my goodness, like, how are they doing this? Now this year it's super low, and you're turning the ball over more. Allen's sack percentage and the amount of sacks he's taking. He's already well past the number. He did that like 3 weeks ago. We passed the number he had taken all year last year. That's the biggest issue, is that you're having a lot of normal regressions of, yeah, it's not going to be the same thing. And that's where, and I saw a lot of fans talking on Twitter yesterday about this, because I know the Bean clip on the station is going to come up pretty much daily at this point now until the offseason hits. But that was a big thing, too. People were bringing up, like, every time he mentioned we scored 30 points last year, now it's cringeworthy. Because it was one of those things of they really were banking on the offense being basically the exact same. And that you just cannot do that in the NFL when teams are getting better, teams are getting – here, a perfect example. The Bills blow out the Denver Broncos last year in the playoffs. Blow them out. Would you say that's the same thing this year? No. Denver's a different team. Kansas City is a different team. Baltimore is a different team. Buffalo is a different team. The NFL moves on with or without you.
It shakes, it moves, it always evolves, mm-hmm. is the right way to go about this here. By the way, this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, but on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday. It's the Catholic Health Extra Point Show here, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Hyundai, West New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com.
803-0550, the number to call. Let's get to your calls, and we'll start the segment off with Drew on the line. Drew, how are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing well.
Good, thanks for taking my call. Hey, real quick, just looking at the player, or the, I'm sorry, the teams that are currently in the top four seeds, the playoffs sort of end today versus the bottom three. You know, teams aren't in it, we know that. However, those quarterbacks that are for those four teams, what have they done in the playoffs? Not much, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even Lamar Jackson. We know when he gets to the playoffs, he becomes a whole different new player. Am I not happy that we're not in the top four? Of course. I think we all are. But at the end of the day, I think we need to take a look at the quarterbacks as well as our quarterback and the experience in the playoffs. I think that's really going to come down to the stretch. So I'll hang up and let you guys talk. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Drew, thanks for the call, man. And normally, I'm in full agreement with you. Usually, it's who's the best quarterback? Go. And that's just the matchup I'll take. Who's got the best quarterback? The AFC this year, I think there is such a difference in the rosters. And that is maybe the biggest issue. Like Denver. If Denver just had Sam Darnold on their roster, I think we're having very different conversations about them. I think Bo Nix is a very average quarterback. Daniel Jones, basically the moment Indianapolis really bought into him, he turned back into Daniel Jones.
Yeah, the minute that they throw two firsts right for a corner, all of a sudden it becomes the toughest sledding for them all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's like, guys, I would not have done that. New England, though, with Drake May, I think May has elevated himself into the conversation of a top 10, top 15 quarterback quite comfortably. It's his second year. This is the progression. It's not always out of the womb, he's as hot as fire, and it deteriorates. You saw that with C.J. Stroud. You saw that with Jaden Daniels, yep, right? Where it's just like maybe ignorance is bliss in the sense of like he's just going out there and playing. No, it's year two for him. Normally, I would take that. I think the rosters, though, this year are so wildly different. Let's look at the three best quarterbacks in the AFC. I think comfortably they are Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Burrow's in there. It's tough with Cincinnati.
Availability has not been there for him as of late,
in the last
too.
Few years, they're not even making the playoffs with him even being healthy, let alone the last 2 years, those 3 years where he's not. But of those three teams, I think all the rosters are pretty poor. The Bills are a very flawed roster. The defense, both injured and, I think, poorly designed. The offense is just flat out, I think, poorly designed. Baltimore might be actually more coaching there, especially with guys like Zach Gore, the defensive coordinator. But ultimately, their defense was one of the worst in the sport for much of this year, for a second year in a row. You can't move Kyle Hamilton again. You can't do that again.
He can't save you again. He's already there.
He's already there. And Kansas City, they are having wild issues on offense, even with the receivers back. They survived yesterday. They get the win, but it comes late. Mahomes has not looked great. Their offensive line is a real problem. The defense looks slow and old. These are older rosters that have been there and done it, and I've used this to kind of describe them. They're the sick man of Europe. They're the Ottoman Empire of the NFL, where they've been around for a long time, and all three have had a wild levels of success in this run here, but they're old, and they're tired. And
you know,
there's
is,
new kids on the block. Many of them, though, are in the NFC, but there's new kids on the block.
But most of it also has to do with, okay, you're the three best quarterbacks in the NFL. You're also three of the biggest cap hits that there's going to be.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I'm not saying you don't pay your quarterback, obviously.
No, it's just what's going to happen.
It is just the competitive balance. You have a better quarterback, better rosters are around because they can afford them. But it's not like every team is spending to the cap either, though.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest thing is that there's a different balance going on right now. And you need to find a way to counter it. I think the Bills are trying to figure that out. It's just that it's not working based on predictability. Mm-hmm. Coaching does have a problem here. And I think it's because of the fact that we are entering the too high era of the NFL. Teams are going to try to make it more difficult for you to attack them vertically. And if you are not able to adjust properly, you're going to wither and die. And I do think that the Bills are trying to get ahead of that curve. Why? James Cook.
I think that curve is already switching, though.
The curve is already in effect. And the Bills did seem to get ahead of it at first. For me, though, when I stick around on coaching, though, it is the predictability. Why? Joe Brady is an offensive coordinator with Buffalo. There's a whole year of tape on him now.
Yeah.
And
there was an interesting quote from a Texans player basically saying that the Bills looked the same, the exact same as they did on film. Mm-hmm. I do think that Thursday night is a bad sample size to really use the context of that clip. However, there's a whole regular season that we can use instead. If the Bills are predictable and easily diagnosed through film study, kind of tells me there's a Joe Brady problem. And I'm getting to a point now where it is. Your career pinnacle is the passing game coordinator on a team with a roster of Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Thaddeus Moss is a really good tight end in college.
Yeah, it's the most loaded. 2019 like, LSU is the most loaded offense I've seen in college football.
It's suddenly looking like it was a little bit of a carry job.
Mm-hmm. All the guys in the right spot at the right time. And yeah, they're going to, of course, go win a national title. Right. Why would they not?
It just, I don't really need Joe Brady for this offense much longer. But for this season, I'm going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And can he turn it around is really the big crux of the situation here. The offensive coordinator needs to turn it around because the consistency on offense is the thing. I mentioned how the offense is the thing that has sunk them in losses. If you're struggling to protect with five, it is the offensive coordinator's job to add protection, especially when one of the five leaves the game with an arm in a sling.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing too. Spencer Brown's trying to play through that injury. He's able to for a little while, but him and Dawkins both are having a disastrous day against Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. I mean, disastrous. And now this week you're going up against one of the better edge rushers in the sport for the last 8 years in T.J. Watt. And coming up, you're going to have another one of them, potentially in Trey Hendrickson. And then a couple weeks after that, you're going to have Myles Garrett. This is not the last time we're going to see an elite pass rusher that can completely derail a Bills offensive game plan. And that's been, I think, their biggest issue is that when that starts to get going, they're taking more penalties. Allen's taking more sacks. They don't have man beaters. All of a sudden, you know, scoring 30 points at will is just not the case.
It's like what Sal mentioned with us of like 3rd and 20, something like that. They're playing man.
Yeah.
And you never do that. That's almost a no-no. And why is that? Well, there's the other side of it. The roster doesn't have enough man beaters to that point, but I really am getting more interested in why is it that under Joe Brady, these receivers are having career worsts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Elijah Moore goes from a guy that, had like 60 catches last year?
In Cleveland.
Yeah, maybe more than that, but he had, I think, over 100 targets, like 101. And yet he can barely see the field, and they use him basically just in jet sweeps.
Joshua Palmer was seen as the crown jewel signing of this offseason.
Nothing.
He's not even giving you Joshua Palmer numbers.
And that's where you also do start to wonder about Keon, your second-round pick. I know he's got the maturity issues and stuff like that and missing meetings or being late to meetings, but then you also have to wonder, okay, yeah, but is the fact that the Bills are using him on the outside and that Joe Brady's offense coordinator basically being a career killer for him? Right. Maybe. I think there's – the problem with the Bills team this year is they have a great quarterback, so they're probably going to be in the playoff race, probably going to be in the playoffs. But in reality, I think the construction of the roster, I think the construction of the coaching staff maybe has just put such a low ceiling on this team. 803-0550, the number to call. And I think for more on Joe Brady, to our next caller, CJ on the line. CJ, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning. First of all, happy early Thanksgiving to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
You too, man.
Thank you, man. I wasn't able to call last week after the game, but so I was not on the canned Joe Brady wagon until Thursday night's game. And the drive that broke me, and I didn't even really hear a lot of people talking about it. So the first drive of the fourth quarter, the Bills are down 7. The offense has been anemic all night, but they're actually moving the ball. They run Cook 5 times in a row. The guy was dog tired, and he had already ripped off a 20-yard run on the drive. And they're trying to run hurry up to get that 4th-and-1 converted. You know, if you know you're going to run it, I'm okay with subbing in Ray Davis or Ty Johnson for this one play or throwing the ball. But it's almost as if he either, completely just his brain shuts off in like super high stress situations where he knows he needs to convert, or he's just not able to move this offense with the way it's currently constructed, with the game plan that they had. But they're not in panic mode. They're only down 7 with a full quarter to go, and they run Cook 5 times in a row when he's dead tired. I didn't get it. And then after that happened, I just know that he's not the guy that's fit to lead this offense going into next year. I know that they can't get rid of him now, but if the way that the roster is constructed now, just with draft picks next year, Josh is getting paid big money. We're not getting any big name wide receivers to be able to come in here. So they have to hope they can hit it in the draft. I just don't know if he's the guy that's going to be able to lead them to get consistency on offense going forward anymore.
CJ, thanks for the call. And I think it's a fair conversation to have on that drive too. I mean, this is where I look at stuff with Brady, because he's been open about it too. Like, when something's working, just keep going to it. They did it against Carolina when it was just sweep up, sweep up, and like the, just outside runs.
I'm not worried about the passing game. We could turn it on at any time.
Well, and like that's the thing. Like, there's some to the positive of like, yeah, don't get away from what's working, right? The problem was, and I think to CJ's point as well, is he's dog tired. James Cook, you know, right. Five straight runs here, and also the play comes in late.
Yeah,
the play comes in late because I'm listening to the broadcast as well with Chris Brown and Eric Wood, and both of them are talking about that as it's like, all right, like they're probably gonna have to burn a timeout here, and they don't, and they run the play, and it's a 2 yard loss on 4th and 1.
The now turning infamous, what are we doing?
Yeah, and then Allen gets to the sideline. It's what are we doing? Maybe the royal we. Maybe it's more to somebody else.
Yeah, but also asked about it, he goes, play call came in late.
Yep,
and that's kind of where you're at that point of you need to see what this team can do, I think, with a different OC. Because at this point, I'm not going to apologize about not being a Ken Dorsey supporter. I'm not. Still not. I won't walk that back. Space and concepts were bad. But it doesn't look like Joe Brady is it either. And I think this is something that you have said, Zach, that I think that people need to be more – not even the people – the Bills need to be on
board. The
Bills,
yeah. I think more than enough fans are ready for this.
You need someone from the outside.
Yeah.
Because the internal thing, you're looking at 0-2 on the internal.
I think you're looking at 0-3. Babbage.
Oh.
I think they need to get away from internal candidates. I feel bad for everyone else that's maybe been developing in Buffalo as a passing game coordinator or like, you know, linebacker coach, what have you. It has not worked for the Bills.
Or just let them sit for a little longer for where they are.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, that's
let them develop a little more proper.
Well, I do know for Babbage, there was the fear that he was going to leave.
Right.
That he was going to get a defensive coordinator spot maybe somewhere else. And look, fair. That's fine.
Right.
But their internal elevations have not done well. They just haven't.
Right.
Dorsey is a bit of a disaster. I mean, we're halfway through his second year and he's fired. I think you're at this point now with Brady as well. The numbers point to it's fine, but the numbers to a certain extent also pointed to Brady or to Dorsey being fine. And we're also at a point now, Derek, for me at least, no point. Right out the season. Because then, really, for me too, don't get bought into the interim coach. I'm seeing Penn State players really wanting the interim coach to be the guy at Penn State. No, do not get bought into that. It was the same with the Raiders as well, with Bisaccia. They really wanted always take the time to go out in the offseason to look around. I'm not saying don't.
The Raiders did mess that one up, though, by bringing in the one guy that you shouldn't.
I don't disagree. But for me, I'll always do that of, no, we're going to do a full process here. Unless it's an otherworldly candidate comes available. I think Virginia Tech for James Franklin fits that bill where 18 months, not even, you know, a year ago he's in the national semifinal. And because they had, you know, championship robust expectations and lost 2 games, the entire thing fell apart. But for the most part, you can hire the interim guy, but make it an honest hiring process where you're bringing in different views, you're bringing in different ideas. I've pointed always to Mike McDaniel this year that, and that was partially due to at the time, I thought Brady would be getting a head coaching job either in college or in the NFL. I thought he would just be gone that way. I haven't gotten there anybody with like defensive coordinators yet. I'll probably get there at some point. That one's a little bit tougher because I don't really know what DC head coaches are going to get fired. It's more
right.
McDaniel. I look at that as I've really liked how his offense is. I think it's super limited by his quarterback. And I think you put him with Josh Allen, I think you're going to have fireworks. And I love the Shanahan system. That seems to be how the NFL runs.
And
everyone does a sort of style of the Shanahan offense, and it really works.
But also, people point to like how the Eagles have succeeded as of late.
It's not the elevations. It's
they bring in Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio to be coordinators for them.
Yeah, they're elevations have actually hurt them at times.
As a matter of fact, yeah, I'm pretty sure that all of Philadelphia wants to fire Kevin Petullo into the sun.
Yeah. Now, for every one of those bad ones, yes, there are positives. I'm not going to say it's never a good idea. I think the Bills, though, have run to a point of try something different. Go outside the organization, bring in new ideas. Go to former head coaches. I'm never going to blame a guy who gets
fired. You had Leslie Frazier on the staff in the past.
I'm never going to blame a guy for being a bad head coach, because guess what? He was probably a great coordinator to get that job. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday. You're listening to WGR.
Sabres deep in their own end with 90 seconds left on the clock. Up 2-1. Nice touch pass. Malenstein, he's got some company coming. Oh, what a move! Malenstein scores! Are you kidding me? Malenstein, fine as wide right there, and the Sabres are up 3-1.
Dan Dunleavy, Rob Ray on the call. I mean, kind of. Do you know how hard, do you know how wild it is to silence Rob Ray?
That was a really good play by Malenstein.
Yes, Beck, Pavel Datsyuk Malenstein, many are saying. Yeah, that's the type of play that it is. Like, to get Rob to not talk is an incredible play in and of itself.
Leave a man stunned.
Yeah, to leave him stunned is just
really good.
Really explains how ridiculous Malenstein's goal was there. Sabres winning 4-1 against Carolina. They're 9-9-4, and guys, big news here. They are not in last place in the Atlantic Division or the Eastern Conference anymore. It belongs to the Toronto Maple Leafs. You love to see it.
I did wonder about Toronto this year. We kind of went back and forth a little bit about them. Of they lost Mitch Marner, and I was like, I mean, they could be.
They should be fine, right?
Well, but that was where I was at. I'm like, are they though? Like, they lost a 100-point scorer. Like, that's going to be a hit, and it's not even, I would say, like, their worst problem. Like, their worst problem is, like, the years of not really having a ton of depth, being very top-heavy for them, not having great goaltending.
And you lose one player, but it's still top-heavy.
And it's a house of cards there. So they're last. The Rangers are behind the Sabres as well. Games played, they
points percentage, yep.
And the Sabres, nice winning streak here. They also won on Friday, emphatically, 9-3 against Chicago. Good for them. And they're starting to get healthier, going a little bit of a run here. The East refuses to let anyone else die. They're not leaving anyone behind, and that's really respectful of them.
They're not leaving anyone
behind. That is really respectful of them. They're leaving no one behind.
There is a start date, though, for what this team's season is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
December 3rd. They start a 6-game road trip on December 3rd. That is where it's going to get the most interesting for them, and it is probably going to dictate a lot of what the season will unfold like. Why? The Sabres are not, just like the Bills this year, the Sabres are abhorrent on the road.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad on the road.
1-5-2. But again, you have an opportunity here. Why? Because they also do a really good job with the Pacific Northwest trip and the California trip in recent years. Now you have a chance to redefine your season. At home, though, total vibe. 8-4-2. Yeah. Fun to watch.
I was even about to say, too, I mean, they kind of just completely flipped the vibes from the road trip. They went 3-4 and yet, at home on this homestand.
And yet their two most infuriating losses this year were at home to teams lower than them in the standings.
Yeah.
With St. Louis and Calgary.
It's
one of the things where you look at it and you go, you shrug your shoulders, throw your hands up in the air, and you try to figure it out from there. But, hey, Paul Hamilton and I have talked about this at length with you or with Joe. And every time, Paul says, the Sabres put themselves in a bad situation where they have to vault every team.
Yep.
Hey, it starts with one.
It starts with one. What's funny, though, is they are technically only 3 points out of a playoff spot. Now, with that being said, Philly's only played 20 games, and so they've got a number of games in hand with everybody, but they're at 25 points. The Sabres are at 23. So, I mean, it's not a ridiculous thought that they're still alive. It's nice that we're at Thanksgiving and they're still there. And to be fair, the game on Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, should be a really good time. It's not in Buffalo. It's at Pittsburgh. But then the game on Black Friday, 4 o'clock, home against New Jersey. You know, get some
– nice little matinee day for everyone. Yeah, and
get them rolling here a little bit here.
Roll yourself in after you had leftovers from Thanksgiving. You know.
There we go. Real quick, I do want to rectify something I said last segment. I said the Bills were 0-3 in their last run here of coaching – elevations, and I do mean that just to
internal promotions,
and I do mean that to coordinator positions. I don't mean like a guy went from offensive, you know, offensive assistant to quarterback coach. No,
right,
the big ones. They're 0-4. Matthew Smiley counts on this as well. The special teams coordinator. He was assistant special teams coordinator from 17 to 21, then elevated to the full time coordinator from 22, obviously, to 24. So realistically, they're 0-4 on this.
Yeah, thanks for that reminder.
And don't get me wrong, and I maybe should have said this last segment, and I'll say it here. You can absolutely blame McDermott on this. He's the coach. He has to okay a lot of these.
Right.
And it's been a tough go. And that's where I'm at, too. I think a lot of the time McDermott defers to the offensive coordinator and the offensive staff because he's the defensive guy. I think that has caused him issues, and he's gotten frustrated. But I think he defers to the offensive guy, and I think that has maybe bitten him more than we all would like to admit, in that when Daboll leaves, they are still trying to replace Daboll ultimately.
Now, to go outside the organization, for example, I'm not saying go outside of the organization just to get anybody.
No, if you bring in
Mike McCoy, Pat Shurmur, or something like that, I'm going to go ahead and slam my face Frank with Reich. A 2x4.
Mike McCarthy. Are we talking now or no?
Hang on. Well, I don't even know if I would count them in this conversation, really, because their negative connotations come from them being head coaches.
That's right, yeah.
So there could be some difference there with a little less on your plate. Maybe you go back to thriving. But, like, coaches that have stunk as OCs, like a Shurmur or a McCoy, for example, or Shane Waldron.
Oh, boy.
Zach, if they hire any of those three players in particular, buy a 2x4 and crush me in the face with it, like in Tommy Boy.
Man, the Shane Waldron thing. So I did read American Kings, that's Seth Wickersham's quarterback book, and we all knew in the offseason there was a big part on Caleb Williams and all that stuff, but the Shane Waldron stuff is so funny. It's very quick, but it's essentially like, I mean, we heard from a Bears reporter, Zach Pearson, who talked about this, and that's exactly how the book painted it too, which was like by like training camp of Caleb Williams' first year, pretty much everyone sort of knew Waldron really didn't have it, and that Williams and his father were very nervous about Waldron. Now, Caleb ultimately comes around to like, no, I'm going to turn Chicago around. To be fair, they're 8-3. He hasn't played awesome this year, but it's also the first year Ben Johnson's offense. He's playing well enough. I'm excited now for Williams' career and what's going on there. But where Caleb turned around and was like, no, I'm going to go, his dad was like always on the fence, and in part it was the Waldron stuff of like neither of them bought him as the OC for Chicago at all.
They were ultimately proven right.
And they were proven super right. And it's a great read. Jumps around a little bit too much for me with like the different quarterbacks. But ultimately, very nice read. American Kings by Seth Wickersham.
I don't mind that idea, though, of like jumping around, though, because it is the same season. Meanwhile.
Oh, no, it's not. It's we're going decades. We're going to different quarterbacks and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
You were going to get a history lesson whether you want to or not. And to be fair, I'm a history junkie, so I did like it. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go back to the phones. Rob is up next. Rob, how are we doing?
Hi, Derek. Hi, Zach. Hi, Joe. And hi, Owen. I heard you talking about turkey, and I'm glad you shift gears because, you know, Derek, you know, I said enough on Saturday with Sportschalk Saturday, and, you know, that was my opinion, and I'm glad we're talking about food here. To get on the conversation of no turkey or, you know, yes, turkey, I mean, for me, when I saw the turkey from Christmas Vacation open up like a Venus flytrap,
yep,
that ruined it for me. I was like, yeah, that's not me. I'm not a turkey person, but at the same time, if you load me up with some mashed potatoes and some good stuffing and cranberry sauce, that's awesome. But I am a ham person because of the fact that after there's leftover ham, you can make ground ham sandwiches, and that's the best. So, I mean, I'm with you guys with the no turkey thing. I just give me a little bit, but if I do have turkey on my plate, it's got to be a lot of gravy.
Don't put me in the no turkey spot there, Rob. At two brute, come on. Also, that was Mr. Cali and Mr. Cali alone. I do not put me in there.
I'm
the turkey stan, and Owen and Zach probably have the most correct opinion of it's just execution.
If it's made right, it works.
It's execution.
And I will tell you though, one thing that always works for me though on Thanksgiving. I think a lot of people are like this too. It's the Thanksgiving leftovers. It's the little sliders you can make with all the accoutrements. So good.
Turkey sandos too.
Now, I will tell you, and this is very much just my family, the thing I look forward to most on Thanksgiving is my uncle's stuffed shells.
Ooh.
We're an Italian household, so like it's going to be the pasta, it's going to be the sauce, don't get me wrong, but like the stuffed shells, I'm like, okay,
Okay.
Bring that on. That's where I'm at. That's where I live.
Hey, that sometimes it's also about how you do it. Execution is always the most important thing.
I'm not going to get a lot of leftovers though this year. I am going on vacation pretty soon after Thanksgiving wraps up. And so we're not going to, I mean, we're doing a Thanksgiving meal, don't get me wrong.
Oh, no, I don't get much leftovers. I'm going to Disney World.
Yeah, but like it's going to suck till Tuesday.
Oh, man.
It's going to be awful till Tuesday.
Oh.
And so like usually we get like a tray of stuffed shells. But usually we get a tray of stuffed shells and it would last me like a week and it was the best. And now I'm like, oh. I guess I'm not going to get that this year. I'll live. I'll be fine.
I'm only going to be like Venmoing you money to get me a lightsaber from Disney. That's fine. Like, but poor me, I don't get it. I don't get extra leftovers because I'm going to Disney.
Thank you. I knew you'd understand.
I don't understand at all. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of mad.
803-0550, the number to call. Talking Bills today. Sabres there a little bit as well, as you know, they're on a bit of a good run here as of late. They really turned around that road trip from hell, and the homestand was very, very good. Carolina win, by the way, yesterday 4-1. You could argue, too, a lot of this is just everyone was hurt, and mainly key guys were hurt.
You lost
and now Zucker's
four of your
back.
Top six.
Yeah, Zucker's back, Benson's back. Of course, Dahlin's back as well.
Dahlin's been cooking since he got back.
And this is where my frustration is with the Sabres. They do look like a different team. That is like objectively true, and I went back and forth with Paul on this and just asking him like every two or three games, like, okay, is this different, though? Like through 10 games. The record, for the most part, looked the same as like the last 10 years, but they did look different, and it was just frustrating that for much of the early parts of the year, it was just insane. I mean, some of them were still going through. Yuri Kulik with blood clots. He's still not on the ice yet.
He's still going to be going through that,
Norris makes it through a little over two and a half periods.
It was almost the whole game.
It was almost the whole game, and then all of a sudden, he's got an oblique injury, and he's gone. It's poof. He's never actually here. He's not real.
We don't know what it was. It was coined an upper body injury that wasn't connected to previous injuries, so I don't think it was oblique.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah, right.
So, but again, I don't know what happened there. It could have been shoulder. It could have been hand. It could have been oblique. Mm-hmm. Like, it could have been core. I don't know what it was, but we're never going to know.
But regardless, he doesn't even get through the first game.
But I think the real difference that you see from this team is when Zach Benson's in the lineup.
Yeah.
And
He's very good.
It's more of he brings the workmanlike attitude, but also the skill to frustrate you along with it. And I remember that Florida game. Owen and I are in the press box, and I immediately say, this is what it means to be hard to play against. Players like Benson and Doan. Not just having your guys like, for example, a Geertsen, who was in that game.
Waived, by the way.
We're finally free for now.
For now, yeah.
But
don't push that yet.
Yeah, I'm not going to go ahead and count my chickens there. But you have to have the skill to make it also work. Like a player like Danforth, he's going to be like he's a solid fourth liner type. But I will say, you need the skill to be hard to play against. In addition to a little bit of the grit and sandpaper, and Zach Benson brings all 5'9" of them into it and says, "Let's go." That's the type of attitude you need. I think Benson's actually, I think, like 5'10", 5'11"-ish. But
yeah.
Either way.
I still stand by it if he was 6 foot, he'd be the second overall pick in that draft.
But again, it's still, he's a shorter guy. He's a smaller guy. But he's going to be difficult to play against because he's bothering you on the boards. He's causing a turnover. And then you have players with a little bit of a higher IQ, like a Zucker, sniffing it out.
Mm-hmm.
The player that I've become most interested in when anytime Benson's back in the lineup, though, and even times that he hasn't been, Jack Quinn. Quinn has a consistency issue, but I do really seem to enjoy that he has more confidence in his legs again.
Mm-hmm.
He has gotten through the injuries that he piled up over the last couple of years, and there's a confidence in his skating now that was not there last year. And that's heartwarming to see, but also depth-wise, that's important.
That's very important.
Dahlin, by the way, since he's been back, on fire, lights out. But I think now is the time to start the unofficial Matias Samuelsson for Norris campaign.
Yeah, he's had a very good year, which is stunning based off the last two.
He's been incredible.
803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock, I believe. Or no, is it One Bills Live today? It might be One Bills Live today because it's Monday.
We're going to need to find that out, and we'll let you know coming back from the other side of the break here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Good afternoon, everybody. Quick wrap up. Wait, wrap up here as
technically
we get you
still
ready.
Morning.
Yeah, it's still morning.
I'm going to throw you off with that one. Well, actually,
at noon. No, it's afternoon at this point. It's lunchtime. It's noon. It's fine.
I hit you with the actually meme.
One Bills Live coming up here in just about 10 minutes as we'll really get the week going here as the Bills get ready to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here for just a few more minutes. We do have Monday Night Football tonight. The Panthers are at the 49ers. Big for this. It's not for the AFC, obviously. Tampa lost again last night. If Carolina wins tonight, they will take over as the number one in the AFC or in the NFC South, which feels incredible. Looking at the season, even as Bills fans, the demoralizing loss it felt like for Carolina right off the bye when they had Andy Dalton starting that game. Bryce Young, I mean, when you forget about him, when you think he is bad, he will surprise you. And last week he did just that against Atlanta. 31-45, 448, and three touchdowns.
He also
was incredible.
Hates the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, that's like the only team he like does dominate.
Like he lights up the Atlanta Falcons, and there's no rhyme or reason for it. It's just, I don't know what it is, but it's personal for him.
Yep.
And by the way, yes, One Bills Live is what is coming up next here on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday. As always, a Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And hey, you know what? There's a lot to do, a lot to say this week. And yet, talking with Sal earlier, though, Zach, we're going to be a little bit in the dark because media's not
there
on Thursday.
Yeah.
Coaches aren't, the assistants aren't speaking this week because they spoke on Friday. So we really have a long time before we hear anything more from the staff, and we're not going to hear as much as we normally would, because on Thursday, Thanksgiving, reporters are not going to be there. It is also the second time that there's been this kind of a stinging loss, and you have
way too much time.
Too much time to work with.
Yeah.
And yet the Buffalo Sabres, for the second time now after that stinging loss, have decided, don't worry, we got you.
Yeah, we'll hold it down for you. Also, UB basketball as well. UB men.
UB men are playing fantastic.
They're 5-0. Right, they're down in Florida for a quick little tournament. They take on Virginia Military Institute, FMI, for short. Coming up in a little while at 2:30 p.m., that game's going to be over on the Bet 1520. Had the pleasure to talk with UB men's head coach, George Halkovich, last week. If you want to check that interview out, I know the program has tweeted it out, or, of course, here on the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com. 5-0, and the program looks, I mean, worlds different compared to last year and the year prior. Daniel Freitag, their transfer point guard, is playing some of the best basketball.
He's playing like a Wisconsin player.
Yeah, former four-star recruit kind of deal, former Wisconsin player. He's incredible. And I was really, enjoyed the conversation, Derek, especially when Halkovich was very open and honest about a lot of the stuff, namely, you know, getting a war chest, as he called it, you know, with NIL and stuff like that. And even just outright saying, like, we're five games in, but we're going to do everything we can to keep Freitag here. We'll see if they're able to do that. We'll see if they continue the good times rolling here. They won't be back at Alumni Arena until December 6th, Saturday, December 6th, when they take on St. Bonaventure, who is also undefeated. They are playing North Carolina tomorrow, not at Chapel Hill. I believe that game is also in Florida. It's part of these early season, you know, tournament action, stuff like that. Maui's coming up. I think we've got the championship classics going on today as well. But that will do it for me and Derek today. We'll be back on tomorrow for a Tuesday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But for more on this weekend's action and, of course, getting ready for Monday Night Football, One Bills Live is coming up next. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help. You save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.